Alrighty, well hello, my name is Corey and I'm going to be showing you how to make your own font today, at least a couple of different methods. In this PowerPoint presentation, it's not really artistic looking, so there's a lot of people back at school would be rather disappointed in me for this, but that's okay. I lost my connection. There we go. Is it for them? Okay, all right. Well, let's get started then. Some definitions first for those people who might need them. These are different terminology is going to be used. Letter form is actually just an individual letter or something that claims to be a letter. We'll get into that later on. Font is actually a set of letters. It share the same attributes. So when you talk about a font family, per se, a lot of times it'll include a bold or italic or something like that. But all the letters, uppercase and lowercase, if there's lowercase, all have the same, they all share the same attributes. They all look the same and everything. Typography in general, one definition is the art of designing letters. I like to take it a little further and say it's the art of designing and implementing, a typeface into a design. Some typefaces have very limited use when it comes to designing something. Others have quite a broad range. So, history lesson. These are throughout time and all the way back to when they used to carve out type, with ancient tools, and they used to carve them out of stone and everything. There's fonts have sort of evolved from one style to another. Most of these, had quite a long life, I would say, and they sort of built off of each other. We'll start with the old style. Old style, Garamond is an example of this font, and it closely resembles something that, that I guess that you would have seen first. It's a nice font. It's got, its letters are very thin and everything, but, it makes for a nice readable font, I think. Times New Roman, obviously one that we all use as a default for any type of Word document that we create. Times New Roman is a font. It sort of builds upon the last font. The letters themselves are still very thin. Italic font. This is sort of an example of italic font. All it really means is letters are slanted to one side. But a lot of times it's used to distinguish a particular word or something like that in a paper. Transitional, I'm trying to remember all the information, sort of how these evolved, but perhaps this was more of just reviewing, less for me talking about. But as you can see, the letters themselves get a little thicker. They look a little different. I have no other information about that one. We talk about modern fonts. Bodoni's a good example. Bodoni's a nice font. I like it an awful lot. It's more of a thicker font as well. A lot of the letters look the same, but as in the case of like the Q has its little thing coming out the bottom of it. It's something that has a lot more use, for a lot of different kinds of design pieces. Egyptian fonts, these are a little bit interesting. I think the other term is slab serif that they're usually called, but Rockwell's a good example of one of these fonts. There's a lot of, I'm trying to figure out how to describe it, but the letters are very thick and, they have a little, out of each letter there's a little, I guess what the slab is a little thing at the bottom, like of the X and the F, for example. So these have limited use, really. I don't use them very often. They're, I guess, appealing to the eye for some people, but it's not something that I typically see in the design that I do or the design that anybody else I know does. Sans serif fonts, this is sort of more of a modern font. Arial, which is actually just a knockoff of a font called Helvetica. The sans serif font, and we'll get into what serif and sans serif fonts are in a sec, but this one's a pretty clean one. This is used for more of display, if you're trying to catch somebody's eye, and make a big, if it's just like one word or something, all right, sans serif fonts. They have little small elements to the ends of the main strokes, and where all the arrows are pointing is a good example of what I'm talking about. So they're more of just, you know, little design elements, but serif fonts are used in, you know, most types of publication, newspapers and magazines and everything like that. Supposedly allows the, you know, the person who's reading the article or whatever, it allows them to read it easier, I guess just because the letters connect more to themselves, to one another, so it makes it a little bit more easier. And then serif, or sans serif fonts, don't have these small elements added to the end. They're just, these are a bunch of different examples, but they're more used for display fonts. Again, you know, like a title, you know, like if you had a title for an event, that would be the, you know, a sans serif font would be used for the title itself, and all your, like, information would probably be in a serif font somewhere on, somewhere else on the page. Let's see. In my synopsis, I had something about discussing 3D typography. Now, this is something that I've just gotten into recently. You know, most people think typography is flat or two-dimensional. Dimensional typography makes you think about typography in terms of time and space. Time being, like, if it's some type of animation piece, you know, the way the type scrolls across the screen, whether it does any rotation or anything like that, that's a different way to look at it than, say, reading this right here. Space, because we'll get into the ways that 3D typography shows space, but if you're thinking about it, when you read this, these are flat, two-dimensional letters in the 3D typography. A lot of times, I mean, you have to sometimes walk around it, look at it from different angles to get an idea of what it's like. Ways that letters have been rendered dimensional, and we'll try to get through the rest of this without too much longer. Extrusion, shadowing, sewing, and bloating. These are just four. There's a couple of other ways as well. Extrusion, letter forms look as if they're stacked on top of each other. Sort of the way pages are stacked in a book. 20th Century Fox, his logo. If you ever watch that animation, how it starts and then it goes around, you can see that the type itself sort of stretches out. And it's the most often used method for showing 3D type. It's powerful and expressive, but rather predictable, something that people use to gain people's attention. But there are other ways to go about it. Examples, it's going to be hard to see the one on the left, but that's a typeface that is extruded. The H that I drew the other day on the right there, that's sort of what I'm talking about. A lot of times, the extrusion of a letter form will go back a lot farther than this. But it sort of gives the idea of a 3D, you know, letter form, something that, you know, something that you wouldn't normally see, you know, reading a magazine or something like that. Shadowing, this is sort of another easy way to show a 3D typeface. It, you know, light source implies depth, so, and it's pretty common enough that, you know, drop shadow option is in most page layout software. You can, you know, put a drop shadow, you know, Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, Quark Express, I believe, any of those. It doesn't usually look too good, though, especially if you're using it, you know, to produce some kind of, you know, print piece. Sort of a cheesy way to, you know, to show what you're trying to show. Again, you'd never use a shadowing technique if you were doing some kind of, you know, if you were writing, or if you're printing stuff, an article in the newspaper, you wouldn't want to use shadowing. Of course, you know, on the words, because then you wouldn't be able to read anything. Here's an example of this font, the darkness in the back there, that's a shadow, so it's sort of implying depth, even though the letter form itself could still be two-dimensional. If anybody's interested, I might have to put them back together a little bit, but I did create a 3D typeface out of Legos, and I have a couple of examples in that bag over there, which the plastic bag, unfortunately, hasn't kept them in one piece. Luckily, it's a quick fix, though. And perhaps I...
I'm recording you.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that. Yeah, unfortunately, I really can't show anybody how to make a font, so without the It does. It really does. Yeah. I mean, I suppose there's part of it I could. Well, that's good.
It appears that your power share broke. Dear Lord. This trip.
Yeah, there's a trip in the other room.
No, that trip.
Oh, I'm just saying, the other room broke the power grid.
No, that trip. That break the power strip trip.
Oh. Tripping no, power strip.
Totally, but that power strip trip. Man, I had to reset it.
It's tripping, man. Lots of tripping. Oh, well, that's perfect.
What do you do with Fonts for a living?
Oh, well, I'm actually a graphic design student, but I've had a lot of interesting projects lately in design class, and one of them involves sort of creating your own fonts. Even though there is a million different fonts to choose from out there, sometimes you just want something a little bit more personal. Yeah, that's another thing. You can only find so many free and useful fonts on the internet. Some of them do cost money. Yeah.
Do people ever just like make their own like?
Oh yeah.
And just call it a day. I mean, why would you?
Yeah. You know, it depends. A lot of times, you know, just I guess it's what you're, you know, where you're working at, or what you're designing. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of the regular commercial fonts, like all the fonts that you find preloaded into any Adobe, you know, or layout, page layout program, those are a lot of times the fonts that are used the most anyway, basic serif and sans serif fonts. So it works out. Well, a lot of times people, I guess, if you're not too inclined to find a font that's a little bit different, you might just take the default anyway. So that's probably why those ones are used the most. But... all right, I got to back up. All right. Yes. All right, so the next way that typeface is usually, you know, switched up a little bit to make it three-dimensional, it's a technique called sewing. Stroke of letter is interpreted as if it was like a strand of a ribbon. Twisted and folded letter forms suggest dimensional typography, just the way the you know, ribbon type's texture goes. I'll show some examples here. This might be a little hard to see for some people, but these are letter forms created. They have all kinds of floral patterns and things around them. And the way the floral patterns are drawn can suggest dimensionality to it. Here's an example of a, you know, sort of a, you know, ribbon font. The way the ribbon sort of folds in under and over itself suggests dimensional typography. Bloating is the last technique I'm going to talk about to sort of create a 3D letter form. And it's something I'm sure some of you have seen before. It's sort of like a balloon-like quality where it looks like the letter form has, you know, been blown up with air in it, sort of like a balloon. Other words, all kinds of bulbous, organic, inflated, biomorphic, those are just other words that you can use. The one on the left, that word, it's used some kind of liquid, but as you can see, it's sort of the shadows of the light sort of suggest dimensionality. My lovely drawings on the right there, they are sort of what I'm talking about, the sort of the balloon effect, different shadows and whatnot sort of creates an illusion of three-dimensionality. Shadow, but not the same kind of shadows I'm talking about, the drop shadow thing, that's a little bit different. 3D typography, this is sort of the last thing, I believe, other than examples, and I can actually show some techniques for creating your own typeface. 3D typography, these are some of the issues that you know, need to be addressed with it. What role does it play on the printed page? Does it even belong on the printed page? That's a good question. It's one that is really difficult to answer. If it works for some sort of printed piece you're doing, then I guess so, but a lot of the times it's sort of, you know, people would be hesitant to use a three-dimensional typeface in a, you know, on a flyer or a poster or something like that. What is 3D typography's impact on language? How does the typography work as a system of letters that form words? I mean, is it readable? Is it legible? That's the next thing. Last thing is, does a 3D typographic object, does it even need to be a letter form? Can it just be some sort of interesting shape, something abstract? Does it have to be something that has to be used to spell out a word? Here's an example, sort of a 3D typeface. This one isn't very 3D, it's somewhat 3D, but it's used out of old tools and old pieces of different fabric. That's sort of another example. You can see the J, K, and the L. I think there's an R down at the bottom there. The one on the left, I think, was computer generated, and that's sort of another way to go. 3D modeling programs, you know, you can create, you know, whatever you want with those, and you can create your own, you know, typefaces and whatnot. The one on the right, that's sort of, I'm not sure what that's made out of exactly, but it's sort of an example of the extrusion technique I was talking about earlier. This is my typeface, my 3D typeface, made out of Legos. It was an obvious choice for me because I have so many Legos at home, and I hadn't had any use for them in a long time. B and the N, just not only was the way that I built the letters themselves, but again, the idea of, you know, being a 3D typeface, you have to sort of walk around it and you know, take it in from different views, and that's where, you know, shooting it with a camera, as I had to for class, that's where it gets really tricky. Now onto the camera or the intro photography thing last night, because my pictures need a lot of work. So that's sort of a way you can, with a 3D typeface, you can take, you know, a million different pictures, and it can look different, you know, different ways. One on the left is a J, the one on the right is an O, and the O sort of, I think, shows a good example of how you can sort of look through it and you can still see part of it in the back there, part of the actual letter form. You know, with Legos, there's a lot of different kinds of pieces, movable pieces, pieces you can use to create different angles and stuff, which makes it, I think, ideal for creating a 3D typeface. An S and a T, and I'm just saying what they are because, you know, the question, again, with 3D typography, you know, people are going to have a hard time sometimes realizing what it is, and that's sort of the challenge. And then again, if no one could recognize that as an S or T, would it actually be a letter form to them, or would it just be some sort of abstract objects? This is a three-dimensional typeface that a girl in my class made, with little cubes and fish and the little flower stuff that you put in there for the fish. And what's cool about this is the fish swimming around in there. I mean, not only is the way you look at it different, but the fish swimming around there sort of move the letter forms themselves, so the letter forms could look different if you come back later on in the day. It would have been cool to you know, have a couple of those here to show you, but someone killed all her fish, so unfortunately I can't show it. All right, let's see. All right, that is, I'll come back to that. All right, to actually get to some techniques now, which would be nice to show people. Let's see if they're actually, okay, I got used to this bigger screen. Let's see. I'm gonna close this window up for just a quick sec here. So let's see if my files might have closed. All right, let's just open these individually. Okay, as long as it's showing it, at used to the 640 by 480 resolution. All right, so here's one way to go about it. This might, you know, this way sort of reminds me of Mario Paint, the video game for the Super Nintendo. It had an option. You could create different characters and stuff by filling in different squares to create different characters and whatnot. But you can do the same thing with letter forms, actually. So, you know, all of these, everything about this grid right here, you know, you can manipulate, you can fill in the little boxes. And you can create boxes of all different sizes if you want to really get, you know, interesting, you know, letter forms and whatnot. I just created these rather big boxes just to show the effect. But, you know, these right here, I mean, if you wanted to switch up, like, you know, make an H and you didn't want the little slab stack things here, all you have to do. And, you know, I wish if I had the time, I'd go over some of these tools. And this is Adobe Illustrator, and it's a great program for creating this type of thing. But all they are just little squares and a grid, and you fill the square in and whatnot. And create a completely different H. If you wanted to, create a different letter form, you can always just unfill out the squares, like so. Actually, I could do more than one at a time here. Forgot about that. At least I should be able to. Should I'm pressing the right button. There we go. And now it's an I. And you can get, interesting letter forms. You can create some letter forms pretty easy, actually, using this technique. So, the E becomes a C and whatnot. So, this is just one method. It's a method I think is, fairly easy, fairly quick. You can get some pretty interesting letter forms. The A down here sort of reminds me of some sort of creature from Space Invaders or something like that. But again, you can get pretty creative using that technique. There's a technique I'm going to show that's pretty easy for just creating different interesting textures. There's a brush tool in Illustrator, as there is in other programs like Illustrator. And Illustrator and Photoshop each come with a bunch of preset brushes. You can obviously download more brushes off the internet. But the brushes that are available are pretty cool, I think. I just need to find whether they're highlighted or not. Here we go. Maybe I can find a cool one here. And this is a way, like, alright, so I'm creating an S there, and that's a crappy looking S. But the brush itself is neat. So then, you have something that, has, I guess, a little bit of dimensionality to it and something that's a little different than maybe what you thought it was going to be. I can create a couple more here. Again, a crappy W becomes something more interesting with the brush technique itself. I'm not actually spelling anything, but let's see. So, that's something cool. I can try a different brush here, I suppose. Let's see what I get with a different brush. So, create an H. So that's a little hard to tell, but that it's an H. But it's sort of the idea. You can create stuff pretty easily that way. Here it is. Okay, I showed those two. See what else I got here. All right. Another way, sort of create your own font, is to take an existing font, an existing typeface that already exists, and there's a tool in Illustrator that allows you to, let me zoom in here. This tool allows you to sort of take the letter form itself. What you first have to do, there's an option in Illustrator, allows you to create outlines, which then makes the text uneditable in terms of changing it using the type tool. But what it allows you to do is sort of go in, and each one of these little points you can manipulate and sort of stretch and do things with. So, if you wanted to create an interesting looking Y, that's a little different. I don't know. you could do that. You can make, slight variations, or you can make something completely different. And, it's taking an existing font and sort of putting your own spin on it. So, again, you can just stretch out the E a little bit. Or you can do like what you did with what I did with the Y and make it completely different, completely weird and everything. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I believe there is, but I think if you manipulate it enough, perhaps to where it's unrecognizable, then I think it's fair game. Because I'm quite sure that the fonts that I've found, there are some that look like obvious fonts to me where someone just added something a little bit different. That's something I guess, the more I create different fonts of my own, I should, find out about, just to make sure that I'm not getting in trouble. Like, I would say that the Y I created, if it even looks like a Y to anybody, would be okay. I mean, it's taking the Arial font and, manipulating it and creating something that doesn't even look like the original Y that was there. So I would say this is fair game. I would say if it's a small manipulation, it might require some type of permission from somebody, but I'm not sure. Let's see. There's another way that I want to show, and this is the way that I think is the most personal way to do it. And all it really takes is some time, a pencil, a piece of paper, and a scanner. You can just take a piece of paper and a pencil and draw your own letter forms, draw your own images on a piece of paper, and then if you have a scanner, scan them in. And then try to duplicate with using the program, like what you drew. And it doesn't have to be exact. Like, when you're drawing, a lot of times you're not going to have everything at a perfect angle. Things are not going to be the same width. If you're creating an H, one side of the H might not look exactly like the other side of the H. That's where the program comes in handy, because you can use rulers and things like that to make edges straight. So I was just messing around creating different letter forms. There's a squiggly C and a D here, and using the pen tool pen tool in Illustrator allows you to do is on a separate layer, or the same layer if you want, allows you to sort of go in and sort of trace what you did on the piece of paper. You can trace it with precision, and then any kind of weird things that were there before, when you were trying to draw it, you can sort of smooth out again using the ruler or whatever. So this is a cool way to get really personal. The idea of, like, if you're going to make your own font, like an entire family of letter forms, and upper, lower case, maybe numbers, maybe exclamation point, question mark, you'll want to obviously have a little bit of drawing ability in order to get all the letter forms to look very similar. Again, you can edit them in the program, but it's good to have them looking fairly the same on the piece of paper to start off. And that's sort of where it's tricky. But perhaps again, making a complete font isn't all that important. Maybe just making individual letter forms. I think the fun thing is just playing around. Drawing. I mean, if you're not a great drawer, I'm not a great drawer, but you can still do some interesting things. I think, the more you do it, obviously, I think you'll be surprised at how good you can get at doing this. So, yes, Jeff.
Even programs you recommend to take it from Adobe Illustrator to
the Keyblade Pro? Oh, that's good. I don't know if I've ever gotten that far with, I don't recall if I've ever gotten that far with any of mine, but there seems to me there was a program called FontGrapher. I think it might have been made by Macromedia. I have no idea how what that's like. I think at work we had it at one time, but I haven't been able to find it. So, at this point, I would have to imagine that either Adobe or Macromedia, one of those two companies, would have something. Otherwise, I'm sure there's something, some kind of shareware or freeware online that you could probably find. Yes?
Earlier you mentioned that you don't like using
the drop shadow. Yeah.
I use a lot when I work with people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
What do you rather use?
Well, earlier, I talked about using just, an effective font, something that you can easily read, and something that, you have the option of being able to make bold and italic, and something that will go well with the rest of the design. I think the way the piece is designed is what is really going to, make or break it. And I think having a font that's readable but exciting too. Like, there's a couple of cheesy fonts that I like. There's a font, the Circus font, which has very limited use, but, the letter forms themselves are pretty cool looking. And I think it creates a nice effect. But again, it would only look good on a Circus type poster, I suppose, and nothing else. So I'd say, the font choice itself would make a difference, and certainly the hierarchy of, how the, is it 10 minutes? Okay, all right. The hierarchy, of the title, and then, the first heading and the body copy itself, I think that would make a huge difference too. It's sort of tough because I know there's a lot more that I still need to learn, and I know at work, you know, all of us have had most of the design classes, so we know what to use and what not to use. But I guess there's an effective way to probably use everything, even if it is cheesy. It's just, you know, we like to think, you know, of a font like Comic Sans as being completely bad, but it does have its use, albeit limited. And I guess it's impossible, I think, to expect, you know, as a designer, to expect people who are not designers, you know, not to use a particular font or whatever. And again, you know, that's what's tough about any font that you create a 3D version of, because then again, does it belong on the page? Is it something that is going to be readable to people? So I guess it just depends. Yes, Mark. Yeah. Well, I think the main point was simply, if I'm trying to remember what it looked like. I mean, the Bush logo, the font itself, I forget whether it had any sort of extrusion to it at all, but it was a thicker font. It was bold, sort of implied strength. It sort of implied, I'm sure it implies something different to everybody, but I could see the idea they're going with. This is a font that, you know, it was bolder. It, you know, the flag, it had the flag, I think, either behind or in front of it or something like that. It sort of just signified, to me at least, it signified strength and confidence. And that's what a bold font can get you. And you can get away with throwing a drop shadow in there, and it sort of gives it more, you know, it gives it more strength and power. But, you know, there are other ways to do it. I didn't hate the Kerry Edwards logo either, but it was something where I could understand, you know, the bold font being a reason for that being more prominent. Whether or not it had anything to do with why he won or not, I have no idea. You never know. It'd be funny if he won based on the, you know, the logo that he had for himself, but I doubt it. All right, so those are the different ways that I have. Certainly there are other ways, but I think these ways allow for quite a bit of flexibility. And I definitely think when you draw something yourself and you take it in the computer, then you can say, you know, it is yours. And then, you know, learning how to use this program, Adobe Illustrator, isn't too difficult. Learning the basic things is easy. It's one of those things where it's easy to learn and tough to master, because there's a lot to this program and there's a lot to being able to create fonts. I go back to my PowerPoint presentation. I'll finish up with what I had. I don't remember which one I was at here. Okay. So this is a two-dimensional typeface that I created last year. The idea was to take some sort of tool that wasn't a pen or a pencil or a paintbrush and use it to try to create a typeface, something that, you know, is uncomfortable to use, but you learn how to use it just like a pen or a pencil. So this was actually done using an X-Acto knife, and I would dip it into ink. So that's how I got the obvious scratchy lines, and a lot of people thought that this was a rather intimidating typeface because of something that maybe you'd find on a ransom note or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see it. I think the idea of creating a complete font, which this isn't. This is just, I believe, just all capital letters, but is to make them look similar. So, I mean, I might have gotten away from that with a couple, but the basic idea is the same throughout all of them. This is using the same technique with the ink, X-Acto ink, or X-Acto knife and ink. This time I turned the X-Acto knife to its side, and I used the side of the X-Acto knife. So these are all, well, these are actually a mix of upper and lower case, but the idea is sort of the same. You get nice little smearing effects and stuff like this. And to show you that you can actually use a font you create for something useful in a design, this is a promotional materials for a fictional event for trash cleanup for a city. And I added, you know, images that I took my own of trash and different things like that. But it's using the actual typeface I created, sort of implying, you know, messiness and trash being messy and the city being messy. Let's clean up the city. Again, using it just for the header for this for this particular event because I don't think it would work as body copy. I think it would be very difficult to read. So this is a poster and flyer, and these are two postcards for it, the front and the back. So, you know, I mean, it is cool, and it is possible to use a typeface that you create or a font that you create, you know, that you can actually use. And it just gives you, you know, it gives you something else to use instead of using, you know, the default fonts, again, that come with the programs. This is just my thank yous, including happy birthday to Mark. I forgot to say happy birthday to you earlier, so I apologize. And that's pretty much it. I can take any questions anybody has. If anybody's getting away. Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's, yeah, if I remember correctly, I think I was in just Photoshop, and I would, I think I cheated and used what's called the magic wand tool, which doesn't always work, you know, because sometimes there's a lot of different shadows and color, like for an image, a lot of times it'll eat into little parts of an image that you don't want, but I think just because mainly the page I had was just black ink and white paper, I think that's how I did it, so. Okay, all right. Yes. The whole design or just the typeface itself? Oh.
I mean, how did you put
together the technique? Oh, well, I might have created, I'm trying to remember now. This was like a year and a half ago that I did that, but I think I might have created individual files for each letter. That's something I think I did it. Either that or I just would crop, like in Photoshop, I would crop like the A, you know, say the file, or just copy and paste it from one program to another, then go undo crop, you know, and then go to the next one. But you can get it where you can cut out the white background using tools in Photoshop, and then you can, you know, you can move the file or the font however you want. So, and then you can slant it, do everything that you could do with a regular font, you know, regular digital font that you find on there. So,
I think there's a certain creative portion of what you would do, Zach and I, things like that.
Yeah.
The mechanical side of things is the way for the lighting between the characters is making the adjustments between the different characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, again, the same rules, the same sort of things that apply with, you know, with a regular font will apply, you know, with anyone that you create, if you plan on using it in anything, any kind of promotional material, I mean, so. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that, you know, that's, you know, being part of being a good designer is if you're going to create your own font to be able to still remember all the principles of how to lay out the type. Because if you get away from that, then, you know, whatever you create is going to look pretty unprofessional, regardless of how much time you've put into the letter forms itself. So, what's that? Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's all I have. Thank you guys very much for coming. I appreciate it. If you guys want to talk about any of this stuff after the speech, I'll be right outside. So I'm more than happy to discuss anything design related, whatever. So. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.